You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
You're listening to Live from the Table, The Comedy Cellar podcast on Raw Dog, Sirius 99. This is Dan Natterman, and our regular listeners know that if it's me that is introducing the podcast, or the radio show slash podcast, that can mean only one thing, that Noam is out of town. Noam is on a cruise. He's on a cruise right now. He goes on a lot of vacations, as some of you might have noticed. I'm not sure he needs to even be here at the Comedy Cellar. I've never seen him actually do anything that I would describe as work. Unless you would just, well, I haven't have, I mean, you're not here every night. But I see him drinking Frangelicos, yelling at Stephen Calabria. But nothing that I would qualify as
I'd say
as
it's
work.
Probably a part-time job yelling at Stephen, at least.
I think it's his pleasure. I think it's his it's his avocation, not his vocation.
Well, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
That's what they say. Anyway, we are, normally we record downstairs in the Olive Tree Cafe. Tonight we are upstairs in the studio, so you won't hear any background noise. You won't hear any clanking of plates. You won't feel the disdain of the other comics as they look at us. And that's what I feel anyway when I'm doing the podcast.
Is that right? Why is that?
Because I feel they think it's corny.
Is that what it is?
And, you know, and plus we're using up the comedy table that they normally sit at, and I think they feel displaced. Anyhow, we're here tonight with three guests. Rebecca Trent, how do you do?
Hello.
Of the Creek in the Cave, owner of the Creek in the Cave Comedy Club in Queens, and she has done this show several times. Danny Lobel making his second appearance on this show.
Yes, sir.
Danny is a comic that is based in... Is that my...
I guess.
I think so. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen just found a pullover that I left downstairs. So I thank him for that.
You let that detail not slide.
Danny Lobel is a comedian with whom I used to do a podcast, and we were always yelling at each other. Much like me and Noam, we didn't get along. I'm not really
Wait, what?
We got along
how I remember
on air,
all.
On air. There was a lot of yelling. I accused you once of being a dangerous person.
Ooh.
I thought that was a compliment.
Well, be that as it may, there was a lot of, I think, tension.
Fascinating. I never felt
that. You didn't feel tension?
No.
Well, that's how I remember it. But in any case, he moved to L.A. to seek his fame and fortune, and God bless him. He's still seeking, and we wish him luck with that. Aparna Nancherla, I believe it's pronounced.
Yes. You got it.
Is a comedian and New York-based?
New York-based.
I don't see her a lot. You don't work at the Comedy Cellar?
No.
Have you auditioned for the Comedy Cellar? Also, Steve Calabria, our producer, is here. If he has anything to say, he can certainly do so.
Thank you very much.
I have not.
Aparna, you have not auditioned here.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Stephen, do you know anything? Have you spoken to Noam about Aparna? Because I saw her
believe
video.
I have mentioned Aparna.
I saw
before.
Her video on the Conan show. I thought it was very good.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of Aparna. Yeah, everybody's a huge fan of Aparna.
And her Twitter account's amazing, too.
I don't follow her on Twitter. And even if I did, I wouldn't pay attention because it's all about me on Twitter. I just go on Twitter and I look at who that button that you press to see who mentioned you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I do. Anyhow, I do want to, last week we talked a lot about Louis, and I do want to continue that discussion because, it's interesting as fuck, is it not? I don't find I find it always interesting.
Out of respect for the other guests, I don't want to harp on this.
You go ahead, Daniel.
I never felt like there was any tension. I'm really surprised to hear you.
Between the two of you.
Go listen to the old episode. I don't want to get bogged down.
I don't want to get bogged down either, but it's strange for me.
Listen to the old.
And I've been friends with you for years. You've never brought it up before. I've been on this show
before.
Because
it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter.
Interesting.
Because you know when I, with me and Noam, there's tension as well. But we're best of not best of friends, but we're friendly. We're friends off the air. But when we get on the air, we are always at cross purposes because he wants to talk about politics and I want to talk about Louis' cock. And
I thought any tension we had was theater. But anyway, let's get
it's partially theater, partially theater. But I'm a method actor, so within the theater, I had to draw on my own.
Dan hates you, Danny.
Just so you know, I'm not offended. I'm fascinated.
Listen to the old.
He's fascinated and frowning and sweating a little.
Listen to the old tapes, and you'll see.
I have listened to them.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misimagining. Maybe I'm misremembering. I don't know.
If that's how you felt.
Whatever. Let's not get bogged down.
Sorry. Anyway, on to the show.
On with the show. Yeah. Also, I just like to add, last week, everybody was kind of a similar opinion with regard to Louis, but you know, in terms of the general consensus among those that we were speaking with last week, is that Louis's behavior, albeit hardly gentlemanly, was not
deserving
of the of what he's been receiving.
What has he received so far?
Well, so yeah. He's been dropped from his movie was pulled.
Mm-hmm. Right, that was supposed to open this week, I think.
Netflix.
Oh. Yeah.
Netflix dropped his special
and his show, I believe.
Netflix had a show with Louis too?
He lost his show.
FX.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was FX.
There was another show that he's doing.
Can I ask? Did Better Things get affected by this as well?
I don't think anything his name is on got affected. His own.
Just his personal project.
Aparna, yeah. Where are you from originally? Because you have an interesting accent.
People think I'm from the Midwest, but I'm not. I'm from the Mid-Atlantic.
You're from D.C., right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's an interesting type of an accent of sorts that you have. But in any case, I would ask...
Moving on.
I don't want to get bogged down in the accent.
We can have tension,
She
too.
Smiles when she talks. It's throwing you off, Dan.
Aparna is, I believe, Indian extraction?
Yes.
And so that could be a factor. If you grew up, your parents were from India, they have accents.
It's true. I don't think
And I do hear a little bit of that.
Okay.
I think growing up with your father yelling at you in with his accent, you might have picked that up.
So you feel she absorbed it.
I do feel that she probably
through family abuse.
With me, you feel no heritage has been absorbed.
I don't hear you the reason Danny brings this up is because his mother's from Scotland. I don't hear a Scottish accent of any kind.
And he ate nachos today, not haggis. So
I'm just,
And when he hears the strains of Loch Lomond, he doesn't tear up.
Don't
See,
tear
that's
up.
Proof.
Yeah.
Proof he's not a real Scotsman.
This is something Dan's been hung up on for years.
Also, he's Jewish, and I don't consider that.
You think that wipes out any
nationality? I think 90% of your Scottish bona fides are wiped out by that, yes.
Okay. Oh.
That's how I feel, and I'm sorry. I stand by that. Anyway, let's get to Louis. We have a lot to talk about, folks, so okay. Let's not get diverted. But Aparna, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts about the? I want to focus on the hotel room masturbation. There were a few other accusations.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
And then we can go through them one by one. Christ.
No. That was there's a few episodes.
Let's talk about One-Eyed Louie. Come on, guys. What's your response supposed to be to that, though? Like, what are your thoughts on Louis? Like, that's
my thoughts
so
are you
open.
Outraged? Do you feel that the punishment is appropriate to the crime, far in excess, or not enough, or lock him away and throw away the key?
I think part of the severity of, I think the reaction to it coming out is part of the moment we're in, and the fact that it is like just another, he was kind of the one represent, like it feels like every field has been having their perps outed, and I feel like he represented comedy, so then all the, you know, suits and people in charge had to make a statement, which he ended up being sort of the
scapegoat.
Yeah,
you couldn't be more correct, by the way. And nobody would argue. Nobody.
You?
Nobody
I
would argue.
This was a correct or incorrect.
Nobody would argue.
I know,
it's not.
Really
but she didn't.
What are your thoughts? Wrong. Next.
She didn't answer the question though. The question wasn't what are people thinking. The question is what is Aparna Nancherla thinking.
I hesitate to say the reaction was too severe because I feel like I can't speak as someone who those experiences didn't happen to.
You're saying they did happen to you?
They did not happen.
They did not happen to you. So you're saying you're not in a position to...
To be like, oh, well, what he did was not that bad. Because I haven't been in that position, so I can't speak to what the effects of that
I think
would
the
be.
Effects are probably more severe than the action.
Yeah.
What he did.
I agree.
Well, we have to, I think, look at two aspects of it is the effects. First of all, you never know what the effects are. I mean, theoretically, I could say to Aparna, didn't love your Conan set.
Right.
I wouldn't say that. But if I did say that, theoretically, that could send you off a cliff emotionally.
That's true.
So the effects don't necessarily mean that the action was so horrible. Sometimes people react in a way that you don't expect and you didn't mean.
Well, this also comes down to where it's coming from.
Yeah.
If you tell her your Conan set, she might not be as distressed because it's not coming from somebody who necessarily holds
and your
power.
Dick's probably in your pants at the time too.
But the point is not that. The point is we can't judge the severity of a crime necessarily by the effects of the crime. Not necessarily.
The distinction is you telling her you didn't care for her Conan set is purely emotional. She could walk away and be like, what a shame. I really liked Dan and he hurt me. but it's not going to have an effect on her career. In this case, we're talking about the effect also having actual ramifications on a person's career.
Well, we'll get to that. Right now,
no,
we have
it wasn't him doing it that was the problem. It was the girls having a problem with what he did and, that affected their career.
Right. Exactly.
It wasn't what
we'll
he
get
did.
To that, but I want to just want to mention that we have to look at the effects that it would have on the women. We all have to look at Ray at Ray. I got a text from Ray Allen. I almost said Ray. we also have to look at Louis. What was going on in his mind? In other words, as I brought this up last week, did he reasonably think that they were consenting?
How do
is
you,
that a reasonable?
That's not a reasonable question.
No, that's not a thing. We're past that. Louis already said that wasn't a thing.
But no. Louis said, in his letter of apology, he said, I asked permission.
He did. But he also said that he realizes now that asking permission and getting a yes from somebody when he's in a position of power and they're not isn't necessarily
okay,
a yes.
Okay, but there's he might have thought at the, but if he legitimately thought
what
at the
about,
time.
Okay.
Well, now hold on.
Okay.
If he legitimately thought at the time that there was consent and I wasn't there and I can't read Louis's mind, that mitigates the severity of the crime. You have to look at intention.
But the intention could defy logic if somebody's not in their right state of mind.
Well, that's why we have an insanity defense. And Louis was insane.
So you're pleading insanity for him.
I'm not pleading insanity, but insanity is we have to always look when we're assessing moral transgressions what the intention was.
But you're talking about something that a logical, rational person would know not to do, and you're saying he didn't know that because he wasn't a logical, rational person at the time. That's insanity.
It's not being logical and rational, and I would take that into consideration as a mitigating circumstance if that were the case.
But the question here really should be, was he insane at the time?
No. I don't believe he was insane. No, he wasn't insane, but we still have to look at what his thought process was to make a moral judgment.
How could we know in that? We can't read his mind.
We can't know that, but we can't know that with certitude. But if this were a court of law, we would ask him what he was thinking. We would assess in a court of law. We would assess by his answers whether we felt it was a credible response. He said that they giggled or something when he said, can I take it out? And that they stayed in the room. Now that could maybe be interpreted as some form of consent. I'd have to ask Louis, you know, if he were here, this were a court of law, I would ask him. I'm just saying those are questions that need to be asked.
How would you interpret that?
I'm very shy. I need very clear. I need
more
a very
of a grower. I think is what he's saying.
I need a very clear green light to do anything.
Well, I think that the point most people should need a very clear green light to do anything. That's the idea. Once our junk is involved, you're supposed to have a clear goddamn green light in whatever the fuck you're doing with whoever the fuck you're doing it with. That's it.
There shouldn't be any gray area.
There isn't.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah,
yeah. And I've been in plenty of gray area situations, and I've created gray area situations. And I'm not saying that I'm as pure as the driven snow, but like we're really overanalyzing a guy who pulled his dick out in front of a couple of broads, right?
Okay, but so where would you? Well, I like to overanalyze. That's what I do.
It would have been smart if this
I overanalyze like Louis masturbates.
Okay, let me ask this question of the table: how many of you here knew the story prior to the story breaking? Well, how many of you had heard about this?
Everybody's hand is up.
For years, right? If we needed to analyze it, why didn't we analyze it 6 years ago when we started giggling about it?
This was a problem six years ago.
Because there wasn't any names attached to it, so it was considered
Well, but there
a rumor.
Were. We knew a couple of names. I was told the name of the girl duo. I was told who they were. And I feel like that... And by the way, Garfunkel and Oates was... It wasn't, but I'm saying a lot... Though there was huge rumors that it was actually them.
That's what I heard.
Were covering up, but it wasn't them.
Yeah.
But the point is that it was a problem 6 years ago. Six years ago, we knew about this. 6 years ago, we were talking about this. Now we're analyzing it and we're saying, like,
are we analyzing it now? I'll tell you why. Because 6 years ago, I couldn't come on the air and talk about this simply because
Louis would get mad.
Louis would get mad.
And Dave Becky would get mad.
B, people were less interested. And the audience would not...
Oh, no. Everyone's always interested when someone pulls a dick out in front of a girl.
I wasn't going to go on the... Let me
tell you.
I wasn't going to go on the air. Did I believe the rumors were true? Yes. But I was not going to go on the air and talk about it if I didn't know for sure. Now we know for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been Dan's obligation to break the story without much information.
Well, that's true.
I did believe, you know, personally, I believed it was probably true. Somebody said, Louis jerked off in front of two girls. I said,
that makes
sense.
Well, also, don't you think it makes a difference that none of us knew what was true and what wasn't? The rumor was for years that he had stood in front of the door and he wouldn't let them leave. And
that
changes the story
completely.
Totally
changes it.
If that had been the truth, Louis would probably have been arrested for that. And
no way.
But don't you think that that still changes the story? What we thought this entire time was wrong.
100% it changes the story, but there's no way they would have made that actionable. Like, that wasn't even their, that wasn't even what they were trying to do. Well,
and also the rumors, some of the comics were talking about how some of the rumors said that these girls were laughing about it afterwards. They went up on stage and talked about it. So, like, you don't know what's true and what's not. And to talk about that on the radio without any evidence, without any names to the story, and with just repeating an incorrect rumor, don't you think that that's reason enough to not actually talk about it?
Yes. I certainly would not have talked about it on the radio. Quite frankly, when I heard the news, A, I believed it. B, I didn't much care. I didn't have many dealings with Louis. I talked to Louis only once in a while. And so I just like, well, it probably happened, but, you know, there's nothing for me to do about it one way or the other.
I think had Dan brought it up earlier, it would have been very much to his detriment, and it would have done nothing to help anyone.
I'm not making a point that he needed to do this on a podcast 6 years ago. I'm saying that we as a community didn't make it a conversation like, oh, this is a problem. This is something we should analyze. Why is he doing this? Why would he do this to girls? Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Until now. That's what I'm saying. Well, I'm not saying that it's Dan's job to like be the truth teller and whistleblower of every, you know, person in comedy that's done something.
The most recent one, the most recent occurrence, didn't it happen 10 years ago?
Way past statute of limitations, without question.
Yeah, so to say that it was happening is
the
different from saying that it happened.
And that's always been my thing, is that if a person isn't proving to be a current threat in the comedy community, I do my dead level best to identify who those people may or may not be. Do you know what I mean? In order to, like, I don't know, keep the creep level down at the creek, you know?
Let me ask you that question, because Noam, generally speaking, we've talked about this numerous times. We talked about it with regard to Bill Cosby. We talked about it with regard to Woody Allen. And we talk about it with regards to if Noam...
Wait, what did Woody do? Oh, God.
Dropping like
I don't want to know.
whether or not it's Noam's responsibility to police the stage, whether or not it's for his responsibility to look into, you know, accusations against comedians. Now, you're a club owner.
The Cellar is a very different animal from the Creek, though. I'm a club owner, but I'm also doing about 21 open mics a week. I am dealing with comics in their first performances, for the most part. I have a lot of first timers. I have
an
a lot
incubator.
Of people that are, I'm an incubator. So it's a different level of creativity that's happening in that room. It's a different level of vulnerability, and it's also a different level of, like, people who come in that are kind of like marks, right? The Creek is open to everybody, so everybody comes. And I do have to have a little bit of a heavier hand, I think, than Noam would in a club like this to not necessarily police, but try and ensure that everybody gets to have a good creative experience while they're at the Creek.
That's what's called artist forward.
Right.
And Rebecca has mentioned that her club is artist forward.
Yes, I make up phrases and dance for it.
but now say that Louis had come to your club a few years, and so you did.
I didn't think he posed a current threat to the comedy community.
Okay.
Do I think that I would ever let me be really clear. If Bill Cosby and Louis C.K. and Al Franken wanted to come do a triple header at the Creek, I would invite them in a minute. I would get in my car right now and I would leave and I would meet them at the club and we would have a great night. Would I let any of my friends have a drink with them alone afterwards? No. Well, Al Franken and I would.
Al Franken.
But not Cosby, really.
Okay, so you're
Louis
saying,
probably even too, to be honest with
you're
you.
You're saying that your threshold, your standard...
I think that my standard
is,
has
are
to
they
be
a current
threat.
Okay, a current threat. So in other words, the fact that we all knew about Louis, since he didn't seem to be a current threat, then...
The story was 5 years old already by the time we
started
hearing
about
it.
So you're saying it's appropriate that nobody did anything because he wasn't a current threat.
What could you do?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that anything that he did was actionable. I don't think that what he did constituted kidnapping or, like, I mean, he maybe would have gotten written a citation for
not actionable,
lewd and lascivious acts, maybe, or something.
Okay, so your standard is, but before you seemed to be pretty vocal that Louis did something very, very bad, or maybe I misinterpreted you.
No, I mean, like, there is no gray. I mean, like, I don't feel like we need to make excuses for it. There's no gray area. What he did was gross. There's and I'm not advocating for that kind of behavior.
But you don't.
But
see...
I also don't see him running around with his dick out, jizzing on everybody.
A sexual
like
predator.
He's not. I don't think.
But
he
I
is.
Don't think most people who are sexual predators are openly running around with their dick
yeah.
out.
You'd be surprised. And I also have never met anybody who self-identifies as a sexual predator. So I don't know. I don't know what. Like you said, you'd have to know what was in his head to know like how really bad and monstrous the act really was. But isn't a gray area. You don't get to masturbate in front of your coworkers, even if you want to. And even
well,
if
you do
get
if you think you've gotten permission.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, what were they supposed to do in that situation?
Well,
they just laughed.
Yeah.
At a comic who said, can I pull my dick out? Which, honestly, I have never not laughed when a guy is asked if they can pull their dick out. It's hilarious.
Well, they probably thought he was kidding around.
Yeah. Well, probably, right? And then when it really happened, what were they supposed to do? Like, this guy's, it's Louie.
Well, it happened to me in a steam room once at the Equinox Fitness Club.
And was it somebody who worked above you? Like a was it Gnome?
It wasn't Gnome. It was a random member of the Equinox.
Wildly uncomfortable?
He was part of the Equinox community.
Are you still an Equinox community member, Dan?
I still am a member of the community. I just simply walked out of the steam room, and I was pissed, not because I felt humiliated, because I wanted to use the steam room. The fact is he kept me away from my one love in life, which is the steam room.
Right. So it had very little.
So it had repercussions.
So there's a woman. It kept Louis's dick kept one woman away from her one love in life,
well,
which was comedy,
well,
right? Didn't somebody quit comedy as a result?
Yeah,
I read
right.
that in
they
the
quit
too.
Comedy, but it's hard to... Did they really quit comedy because Louis did that? It's a tough business.
And
a lot...
who knows what other sick shit happened to
but
her,
I wanted...
too. Like, it doesn't have to just be that. Like, we all have more than one story, at least.
I want to talk about something because... that we didn't get to last week, and I wanted to get to it last week. I tried to, but Gnome, in his way, just kind of
you got cock-blocked
didn't
by
hear
Gnome.
It, you know, because he gets fixated on it. I do that, too. We all do that. But when I do it, it's okay. But I want to talk about this issue of that Louis, what Louis mentioned in his apology was that they admired him. He used the word admire. He was higher up in the business. And a lot of people are saying, well, because he was higher up in the business, even though it was 2002, he wasn't as high as he is now. That and you alluded to this, that the consent, therefore, was not legitimate, even if they did consent, because he was powerful.
It makes it a gray area, right?
To me...
And once it goes gray, you got to go no.
To me, if you're not working with them in an office, you're just in the same industry, you have a right to try to get laid.
But I feel like our industry doesn't have.
I don't
as
think
clear
Louis
lines
was trying to get laid.
Yeah,
or trying to get a
that
load
wasn't
out.
About him trying to have sex.
It was him trying.
And that
to...
wasn't about him trying to bust a nut either.
Bust a nut, he did.
Was about doing it in front of someone and making them watch. And if he really had a fetish about just somebody being a voyeur or whatever, he could pay somebody to do that.
Look, I don't want to get into the psychology. You know,
well,
it's all.
But you do kind of want to, don't you?
You do. You're asking me what's in his head.
Well, all right. That's right. I don't know what's in his head. You're right. You're absolutely right. Maybe he just wanted. He's into them being frightened and upset.
And he likes knowing he can put people in a weird position.
I don't know that.
Well,
that's the reason he did that.
I mean, there was
he
the
might
other girl
just like to masturbate in front of women.
Exactly. The other girl in one of the girls in the New York Times story. He asked her, and she said yes, and then she just felt weird about it after. Unless I
yes, that happened.
Well, yeah.
So in other words, so he has no problem masturbating.
Quite literally, maybe.
And, you know, it might have been. Look, we all would, as far as he could pay for it or not. It's always better when you're not paying for it. It's always
is
more,
it?
It's always more exciting.
There's some people who enjoy the transaction.
Well, and there's others of us who want the women to be into it.
Well, he didn't get either.
No,
maybe he wanted them not to be into it.
The point is does a man that's powerful in the comedy industry have a right to hit on a less powerful individual?
Do you feel like that was how you hit on a girl? Is that how
no,
you
No, that's
girl?
Not the point.
Mr. Natterman?
No, indeed.
I'm calling your mother.
No, indeed.
Dan's trying to use his lawyer skills to
I'm trying
you
to
in.
Say as follows.
That's true.
I'm trying to say as follows. Okay, that he didn't get consent seems to me fairly evident, although I'm willing to hear his side of the story. But there are those that say that even if he got consent, do you understand? Even
that
if
it still would be wrong.
It still would be wrong. And I want to discuss that point.
But what
if... If the comedy world had a human resources department, what do you think the HR department would say about that?
The HR department would say,
"Please don't go
we're not
this.
We're not a, well We're not a company. We're an industry.
I understand that. But I'm saying, like, we're talking in a lot of theoreticals. So theoretically, if there was an HR department for comedy, for the industry of comedy,
they would.
What would they say?
I'll tell you what they would say.
What would they say?
I'll tell you what they would say.
We'll say it already.
They'd say, they'd say as follows. They would say, did you consent? That's the only thing I care about. Because that, to me, is the issue. The issue is not, did he have a higher position
it's
in
a
the
fairly
industry.
Fairly lax.
I don't know
yes,
that
because
that's
we're
a
not because,
take on what
because
an HR department
because,
would say.
Because
if this was PricewaterhouseCoopers, his ass would have been fired.
Because we're not a company.
I get it, but
you
he
not a company.
Fired. But he
we,
but he
we
did
are
get fired
industry.
By companies as a result right. of this, right?
Yes,
because
I,
it wouldn't fly in their HR department. Right?
That's right. But we're talking about the incident in the hotel room, which involved women with whom he did not work.
Maybe we don't lose our jobs if we hold ourselves to higher standards.
Well, okay.
So maybe, like, I mean, I don't know.
I'm
like,
just saying, do you feel that a comic has a right to hit on a far lower comic
on
the food
hitting
chain?
Hitting on is different.
Yes,
on
but
is
that's
a different
the
thing.
Same.
Absolutely, I know that,
and it's
but
not the same, and it is a gray area. It does make it.
I see many an established comic with many a lower level comic. Usually the established comic is a man and the lower level comic is a woman. Sometimes not. And I say that if the woman says, I don't care if she thinks you're God and uh-huh. has a shrine to you in her apartment, if you are entitled to
that
you're entitled to get consent. If she consents, you're entitled to
give it a shot.
To give it a shot.
Yeah. And I think that you can ask, you know, two, maybe three times tops. And then after that, you're harassing people.
That's harassment.
Does
okay.
one time count as harassment?
No, you have mm-hmm. to ask more than once.
So when he's described as a sexual harasser because he asked this other girl once and she said no, and he never talked to her again, does that count as harassment, or is that mislabeling him as a sexual predator?
Well, the interesting conversations that I feel like have been piling up as a result of this article breaking has been around the idea of, should we be lumping in sexual harassment with
rape and
with rape or with sexual misconduct or with actual attacks.
So those are the
capacity.
Interesting conversations, Dan. What have you posed here?
But shut up. But I find it really interesting because I wonder if it is doing a disservice, because, like, you know, every once in a while I'll walk past and somebody will mention some nonsense and I'll hear someone say, oh, well, you know, Louis's a rapist. And it's like, that's not what happened. Please stop repeating this conversation as though, like, it's a game of, it's a telephone game after a
we
while.
We haven't heard from
you know?
Aparna in a while. I want to hear.
I'm listening, but let Rebecca finish what she was saying at least.
I thought
I
did let it finish.
I just think that I think that it's a shame that people are kind of trying to scandalize it a little harder than it needs to be. Like, it's being overstated to a point.
But yeah, but again, I think that is part of the moment we're in, where it's like, I think because all these things are coming out at the same time and there is such a spectrum of, like, how grotesque the offenses are, people are sort of like, okay, well, this is your industry's, you know,
bad guy.
So even though, you know, it, maybe in another moment or another year, what he did would not have been construed as severely, like, I think right now that's not the lens he's under.
I think the bigger problem still is not what he did, but how it left those women and the lack of consideration for them following it in the years that followed and what they were going through and how they were being.
Well,
he was essentially calling them a liar when it was brought up.
I don't know what they were going through because I didn't know who they were until very recently. Like, and
it was, you know,
I don't know what they were going through. You know,
but if you have any empathy, you have to.
Well, I have empathy, but I don't know what they were going through. I'd have to speak with them.
I
don't
think knowing you for many years. I want to point that out.
I have a lot of empathy.
No, you don't.
I have a lot of empathy.
I've never seen it displayed.
And you asked the question about 20 minutes ago. Really, there was tension between us.
That's theatrical tension. And
well,
I'm not
being very theatrical right
well,
now.
Well,
I mean, when we did a show together, we had theatrical tension. I mean, but.
You're saying
this is not an indictment. I just don't think you display empathy, knowing you and being your friend, which I do consider myself. I wouldn't say you're an empathetic person.
Well, you couldn't be more wrong.
Does not displaying
not be more
empathy
wrong.
Is that different from not having empathy?
Well, if he secretly has empathy, I have no way of knowing it. But I've never seen.
I put up with you, don't I?
I don't think that's empathetic.
Anyhow,
all right.
Yeah,
I. That's a good. I feel like there is an element of empathy that is performative, but it is hard to be like, well, he is very empathetic. He just keeps it all in. Like, it doesn't read. It's not a good emotion to read that way.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is what they call the pot calling the kettle black, because it's Lobel that I haven't noticed being particularly empathetic. I don't want to get bogged down into that, but. You know, I don't know what these women suffered. I would have to talk to them. All we know about is they said they were shocked at the time. Whether or not they quit the business because of this is hard to say. A lot of people quit this business. It's a rotten business. I threatened to quit many times. I had nowhere to go.
You have a law degree, though.
I have a law degree. That law degree is worthless right now.
He was seriously considering pharmaceutical sales for a long time.
I certainly was. Yeah. I certainly was.
Out of curiosity,
okay, go
ahead. It seems like you've vocalized that you think that the reaction was a bit severe to Louis's career.
Well, I vocalized that that's what the consensus last week.
Last week was.
Been avoiding giving my personal opinion.
Well, what is your personal opinion?
My personal opinion is that I don't think Louis is a monster. I think he's a sick man in certain ways. As far as the punishment, is it that severe a punishment? He'll be back, I think. So
I'm not really worried about him.
About
is that
him
weird? I'm more worried about Andy
so.
Dick, and I also kind of wish that the story had broken with him first, to be really honest with
what
you.
What happened with Andy Dick?
Andy Dick? Oh, I don't, what doesn't happen
well,
with
just
Andy Dick?
Dick.
I
mean,
he's
dumb question.
I was at Bridgetown the year that he did Bridgetown, and I don't
wait,
know
what is Bridgetown for the uninitiated?
Bridgetown is a comedy festival that's like a FUBU comedy festival in Portland, Oregon.
Okay, because most of our listeners probably don't know what that is.
7 or 8 years ago. I'm sorry.
And furthermore, I don't know what that is.
It's a great festival, but Andy Dick headlined it 1 year, and I mean, just the stories went everywhere from like him jumping into like bathroom stalls, him like grabbing boys and trying to dry hump them, him
completely sober
reaching up women's skirts. Oh yeah, he's
teetotaler,
like, image of sobriety,
right. Yeah.
He disappeared for a couple weeks after it, and they like found him in Seattle or something. Like, it was insane.
Oh yeah.
But he's the one that I've always felt like was the out of control example of like really what we let just get away with fucking anything.
Charlie Sheen,
and
too.
Still book him and still, mm-hmm. Well, but Charlie Sheen's not a comic. Do you know what I mean? Andy Dick's a comic.
You know, I think.
And I just like, I feel like he really should have been the one that was identified. But I mean, I guess Louis is probably like a bigger get in a way.
I
you
think
know?
Because Andy Dick's behavior was so
but
open
what Andy
and
does
out
is
there,
worse.
Right.
Way worse.
It was.
Tolerated.
First of all, anybody who had an encounter,
it's like you were prepared
everybody
for
believed
it.
Them. You know, yeah. Everybody believed them, and everybody could be like, "Oh yeah, that's."
And he certainly didn't have any
them.
Effect on anyone's career,
right?
And there's
going
to be no
right.
bombshell story about Andy Dick
right.
acting in a lewd way, because everybody's like, "Yeah, of course.
Right?
Like, why? Yeah. You know, this is news."
Yeah, but I don't know. He's the current threat and actual problem. Blah blah blah.
Right.
And his whole
right.
response was, "What? I lick people? Like, are you seriously? That's your comeback?
Right.
Oh my god." It's like, yeah, it licks Princess Leia. It's okay.
I think people see Andy Dick and they see a psychologically troubled man and they go, okay, well, look, this guy is a mess. And there's some kind of, not that it validates the behavior in any way, but it's sort of like
there's an expectation,
yeah.
So it's okay. Yeah.
Well, do you think that explains then the backlash to Louis, because so many people had invested so many feelings in him?
Well,
like,
sure.
He's one of us, he's a feminist, he's one of the good guys, and then it comes out and then everybody's super disappointed and... You know,
he was selling authenticity, which mm-hmm. is why I think people.
Which
were
is a real
so...
tough thing to sell when you're a human being.
Yeah, but just that he's open, he's honest, he's authentic, he's putting it all out there. That's what people loved about him. And then when they felt, you know, this happened, there was a sense of betrayal.
But can't both be true? Can't Louis act in a perverted way 15 years
ago? If he
ago
had addressed
still...
it, sure. But he had to wait until an article came out.
So you think that it wouldn't have nearly been as bad if he did like an Oprah interview?
If he had done some shit 3 years, like Aparna's saying, it literally was the moment. You know what I mean?
He had
this whole production was brought to you by Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with anything other than this grab you by the pussy bullshit that we're living through right now.
I think
that's
he
all.
Had plenty of opportunity to rectify it with the girls who were uncomfortable and say, listen.
Well, he did. He messaged one of them, didn't he, and apologized.
But I think it was well after. Like, it was sort
well,
of...
It was well after, and he also apologized to her for something that he didn't actually do to her,
yeah.
The whole pushing
right.
thing.
Which was also disturbing.
Right.
Well, you know...
He's like, oops, wrong apology draft.
Yeah.
All right. Any other? I think we can move maybe to another topic, if that, unless somebody has.
I just really don't want anything to happen to Better Things.
I haven't seen Better Things.
I just, it's so goddamn good. I just don't want anything to happen to that show. So
well,
what do we need? Who does he need to jack off in front of to do that? Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
All right. Well, I don't care about Better Things. I've never seen it, but for your sake.
Check it out. I think
you'd
love
it. Do you think
he'll
be back?
Yes. I don't think he ever left.
I'm worried about him.
He's fine.
Unless there's more shit coming out.
Which, there isn't.
Which
if there was, we would have heard it by
most
now.
Most likely. He will be back. He will be forever, that guy, but he'll be back with his new special, Live and Unconsensual.
It's got to be a weird
instead
moment.
Of live and uncensored. Nobody, nobody thought that was funny. Last week I said Louis special coming at you, and that got more laughs.
That seems a little predatory.
I like that one.
And unconsensual.
He's got to have a weird moment every time he goes to jerk off now, though, right? Just you have to take a second, right?
I don't think he would.
Gotta be sad.
I don't think he'd have a weird moment.
I bet he would. I would every time. If I got caught jilling off in front of a bunch of dudes and nobody
jilling
liked it.
Off, everybody, don't let that go. You're letting it go as if she didn't say anything completely world changing. Jilling off, I've never heard that. Did you make that up?
No, I did not.
She's comedy forward and she jills off.
Because jacking off, I've heard women talk about whacking off, jacking off, jerking off, and I have to say, whoa, no, you don't
jilling
do that.
Right.
You don't jack off.
It's a different action.
Because jacking, it connotes a
jackhammer.
A motion that men make. That
wait,
women,
Dan is demonstrating for us right now.
It's not the same motion.
I mean, it could be if there's an apparatus involved.
It could be, but typically is not. Okay? Mm-hmm. Jacking off is a male thing. And women masturbating, I mean,
is there? What did you use? What did you call it? What do you call a lady?
Call women masturbating.
Really?
I don't give it a nice term.
What do you give it?
Bean flick or well, jilling off is what I do. But some people say flicking the bean. I feel like there's
bean flicking. Aparna?
That's from Opie and Anthony. That's from back in the day. Yeah.
Well,
I don't think I
when
have
you refer
an expression
to it?
For it.
It's just lady talk.
Oh, you know, Aparna. I did want to.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a period.
All right. Just change the subject a wee bit, and I took the opportunity to watch your Conan special.
Conan set.
And I did think it was quite
thank you.
Interesting and quite good. Now, you're an Indian, as we've mentioned before, and you didn't breathe a word of it on your latest Conan set.
I did not.
No, well, I say that because a large part of many Indian comedians act is being Indian. I don't know if that's a large part of your act. Generally, I didn't see it on the Conan show.
That's true anymore, though.
Who
does
that?
Based on all the
then?
Indian comedians.
Who does that?
Who talks about being Indian in their act? Nimesh?
I haven't. I'm not sure. I just assume
you're just naming guys you know are Indian.
Well, no,
when's
I was
the last
time
you
saw no,
Nimesh
I was asking
perform?
Because I know the comics
no.
that Dan knows.
Not
there
yet.
Are like
there's
three
Alingon,
or four Indian comics.
There's
Alingon,
Nimesh,
Hasan Minhaj.
I think they mention their heritage. They don't.
So are you saying it's a preference for you?
It's not. I'm just saying a lot of people. You know, Mo Amer certainly talks about his heritage. People that have heritages is that are less common in the comedy world often talk about it.
Do you mention being Jewish?
I certainly do
ever?
Not. I do when I'm playing for a Jewish gig.
Makes sense.
But I don't typically discuss it, although my humor is steeped in Jewish themes and in self-deprecation, which is often considered to be a Jewish thing. But do you, in your act, if I were going to go see your Aparna headlining show, would you discuss?
Not really.
Your Indian
it's
heritage.
Just not
her whole set
themes...
in an Indian accent. You didn't know that?
I do.
Well, she has a Mid-Atlantic/Indian accent.
Mid-Atlantic.
Is there a reason you don't?
Not really. I think it's just, I figure most comedians just write about what is interesting to them, and it's just, I don't lead with that.
You don't leave with it? You don't include it at all?
I don't really, I guess I haven't really come up with material on that, but it's not like, I'm never going to talk about that. It's just not where my material has landed.
I mean, you've done a lot with on depression, right?
Yeah, because I feel like I'm a more in to out, in inner world to outer world person. So outside in is less, like the way other people see me is less likely what I'm going to talk about as what's going on in my own head.
That's true. To talk about depression, which is gaining some traction now in the comedy world, because you hear Gary Goldman talking about it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I believe our friend Jeff Alexander, or Jeff Leach, discusses it. And then there's that guy, Chris Gethard, whose whole shtick is that he tried to kill himself or wanted to kill himself. Yeah.
Funny to call it a shtick.
That's not his shtick.
That's his whole shtick.
Amazing storyteller who does talk about mental illness a lot in his work.
Well, I mean, I use shtick in the large sense of the term.
Yeah, like the offensive sense of the term.
No, shtick is anything that your hook. How about a hook?
His hook. All right.
Well. You want to call it his life story.
My shtick is I'm suicidal.
But I am seeing more of, I'm seeing more mental illness-based comedy.
Andy Richter is on this whole campaign right now about how mental illness or depression is not a choice. And he's like, he's making a real splash with it, too.
I guess, are there some people so ignorant they think it's a choice? I guess there might be.
Well, there are some people
I think there is a tremendous amount of people who will be like, why don't you just stop being sad?
Just be fun.
Why don't you just stop being sad? Depression, I wish you were more fun to be around.
Depression may not be a choice. I've suffered for many years with depression, but I think choosing not to deal with depression is a choice that should be talked about.
I don't believe anything's a choice. I believe we have no free will. That Louis, from the moment the universe was created,
Dick was always going to come out.
It was inevitable that Louis was going to masturbate in front of a comedy duo, which I must say is an odd move.
Poor Stucky and Murray really missed out, didn't they?
The idea of masturbating in front of a comedy duo, it's never been done before, I would imagine. That was the first time anybody masturbated in front of comedy a duo.
See, he's a pioneer in every field.
What's that?
He's a pioneer
now,
in every field.
Now, maybe somebody once masturbated in front of Lucille Ball and Vivian Vance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was Ethel.
Yeah.
But
those are the trailblazers that led the way for comedy duo masturbation.
But I think it's a very, very rare, I won't call it a skill, but a rare thing. Anyway, I don't believe in free will.
Can I ask you,
I don't
Dan,
believe that we are really have free will. Go ahead.
How often...
Do I masturbate?
No. No, please.
Please as a yes.
See how that works, guys? And everyone's uncomfortable. How many comedy festivals have you been to?
I've been to the following comedy festivals in no particular order. The Montreal Comedy Festival.
Just for laughs.
The Moon Tower Comedy Festival.
Austin, Texas.
And once again, it all comes back to Louis, the Aspen Comedy Festival and Comedy Arts Festival.
How about New York?
The New York, they don't want anything to do with me. That's currently going on now, or is it happening
last
week?
It just happened last weekend.
Why is that, Dan?
They don't want me to darken their doorstep. I don't know why. But I've been disrespected in this business by better than them. The fact is, I'm an underrated... that's my cross to bear. I'm underrated and unappreciated, and it's I'm getting used to it after 20 plus years.
Finally,
but I've been to those three.
You're international.
I've never been to South by Southwest.
Ooh,
and the JFL, the Just for Laughs, has comedy festivals in Australia and Toronto, and they haven't invited me there either.
I don't think that was part of the question.
The question was, is what comedy festivals I've been to.
First of all, the ones that you haven't been to.
Now, your attitude is not...
is lacking in empathy.
Well, here's the problem with Lobel. He's a podcaster himself. And oftentimes when you invite a podcaster on the show, they forget that this is not their podcast.
That's not what it is.
Well, Aparna's a podcaster, too.
Oh, I didn't know that about Aparna.
No, I'm not. I had a short-term one, but I'm not, like, I don't have a regular one.
You had a short-term one, which was a podcast about Indian culture?
No, it was about depression, fittingly.
It was about depression.
Dan, I assume that you started off the podcast with that awkward introduction for me because you wanted to kind of ruffle my feathers, so to speak, and create the old dynamic.
No, I thought that I was just being truthful. I thought that there was some, not tension, there was...
You have to stick to what you originally said.
Yeah, there's tension. Like, but if you listen to the show, you know that me and Noam have tension because I'm impossible to work with.
But that's
and
what
I
makes
have,
the show good.
I have my vision of things.
First of all, yes, I do think
and
that
Noam
nobody
is
would,
fucking with my vision.
Nobody would be able to smoothly work with you, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's why I enjoy doing a show with you, is because... that what you call tension was entertainment.
That's the bottom line. As long as the people are entertained, the tension is okay.
But that's the point of the show, isn't it?
But the tension was real. that the tension had the side benefit of being interesting didn't make it any less real. But the fact is, it was exasperating at times.
I thought that that tension was real, but created only for the show, not in a way that translated outside of that.
It did not translate up, because I can separate, do you understand?
But Dan, you wouldn't have kept doing the show had it not been entertaining.
I didn't keep doing the show. Eventually, I said, Lobel.
That's not true. I thought I ended the show.
Yeah, but prior to that, I stopped doing it.
No.
And then you moved to L.A. to seek your fame and fortune.
Wait a minute. You never stopped doing the show.
Eventually, what happened was, is you said, you know what, our friendship is too important, and there's too much tension, and and yes, I don't want to get into it. That's what happened.
That never happened.
Listen to the tapes.
They're all out there.
All right, Rebecca, you wanted to know how many...
That's three. So now why do you ask that question?
I was just curious because I wanted to know, like, how much of, like, the party scene that you had been involved with in, like, you know, like Just for Laughs, South by Southwest, Moon Tower, I mean, you know, High Plains, Bridgetown.
I don't know anything about Bridgetown.
LA Riot Fest. I mean, there's a ton of them.
Well, I've done three.
But so have you experienced, like, when you go to these festivals, do you stay up? Do you go to the open bars? Do you stay up until like,
I get
five,
the early
the
bird
morning?
Special? And I'm tucked in by 9:30. But first I drink some warm milk.
Warm milk, and you read Gideon's Bible till you fall asleep in your rocking chair.
You know, do I stay up, for goodness
sakes?
Well,
I mean, I'm saying, like it's a crazy party atmosphere, right? And that's like
What about 7 more minutes?
Until the podcast is over?
Yeah. We can do it as long as we please. Well, we typically do an hour.
Also, our guests have...
I don't want to hijack this for my dumb point. Keep talking, Dan.
Your point is that, you know, that I do my crossword puzzles in my room.
No. My point is that we have...
And then
like,
I don't know how to shake it up.
Most industries have one conference a year they go to, right? Like dentists, cement mixers, whoever the fuck else. They have one conference they go
Jewelers.
To a year.
I'm just giving you a 30.
Sure, yeah. Great. Comedy people, we have like one a month. We have like 12 to 24. I mean, and forget it, the international comics. There's, you know, 40, 50, you know what I mean, that you have access potentially that you could go to. And I just, I think that a point needs to be made that we, this industry puts us in a higher level of temptation way more often than an accountant world or the dental world or the jeweler's world would.
Are you saying that as a result, then we need to have more empathy for someone like Louis?
Well, it's a numbers game. We're going to have more, you know, jackers in public than, you know, PC Waterhouse.
Well, Aparna, you've been to your share of comedy festivals.
Mm-hmm. She has.
Whether it be Montreal, whether it be, what else have you done?
Moon Tower.
And have you been inappropriately...
But I'm in your category. I drink milk and I go
to
bed.
Well, I was only kidding about me.
Oh, well, then I'm your joke version of yourself.
Okay. Wait, so you're saying you're the real version?
Yeah.
You're the real version. So you do what I was accused of doing, which is being
a party pooper. Nobody accused you. You're going to have to listen to the
You
tape.
Said I was a party pooper.
I asked you if you stayed out late and partied. That's all.
You wouldn't have asked me
I wasn't
me
implying
that
you don't.
If you had any respect for me, you would have assumed it to be true that
in
I stayed up late and
partied. In all truthfulness, my dear, you could be sober. I wouldn't know. I don't know. And not that you
By
have
sober
to
you mean that I'm on the wagon, that I used to have a problem.
Why is that a respect thing in your head that you stay up?
I'm just
I just out you? I don't know. I didn't mean
No,
to.
I'm not sober. I mean, I've
just never seen you drink. So like I didn't know if you hung out.
I unlike certain people in this business can have a cocktail.
Uh-huh.
Can put it the fuck down.
That's good. That's
I know
good.
A lot of people they drink and drink and drink. I can have two cocktails. And you know what I can do after that? I can stop drinking. Unlike some of the people in this business that can't stop and have to be on the wagon. No, I can control it.
That's a great skill set to have.
Well, I'm thankful for it.
You should be.
Because a lot of people can't do that. But me, I can put the plug in the jug.
Can we call this episode the plug in the jug, please?
The plug in the jug. All right.
I do want to bring up one more thing. Speaking of excess and speaking of lack of self-control, I did something that is very uncharacteristic for me this weekend. I don't know what came over me. I bought a Bitcoin.
I spent
$7,500 for it. It's now up to $8,300. Could be zero by tomorrow.
Could be.
But I don't know what the hell came over me. It wasn't me that bought that Bitcoin. It was somebody else and stuck me with the bill. But I got figurative. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got carried away with Bitcoin fever. Bitcoin.
It happens.
I got carried away.
What was the motivation?
James Altucher, who has been on this show.
Yes, mm-hmm. I knew you were going to
You know,
say
he was
that.
Telling me that he made all this money in Bitcoin, and
that's a bold move.
He didn't tell me to buy Bitcoin, yeah. But he was telling me that he made money in Bitcoin and that, you know, whatever, and he got me interested in it.
I mean, he also invested in a comedy club. Are you going to do that too?
Look, Al Toucher.
Every time he shows up, he's invested in a comedy club. What are you talking
but
about?
But Al Toucher didn't invest. He's part owner of Stand Up New York, just to let people know. But he didn't do that for the money. He did that because he wants to perform comedy. Mm. Is anybody else in Bitcoin?
The only other comic I know that's in Bitcoin is James Adomian.
How long
he's
is he
doing
been?
Well for himself?
Well, you know, if you had bought
weird that somebody would just presume that. Like, I don't know. That's such a funny thing to say.
If he had,
well,
anybody,
I didn't
that,
say very,
I mean, I'm not
but,
saying
I mean,
that he's got a mountain
name.
Of bitcoins that he's swimming through, you know? Like Scrooge McDuck.
Well,
like,
I mean, if you're if you're talking to somebody who makes minimum wage, chances are they aren't investing in Bitcoin. You have to be above a certain bracket.
Well, no, because Bitcoin, the people that bought early on, it was like $100 for Bitcoin, or even or 5 cents at the beginning.
They started, yeah, they were,
and a lot of people that I see online that got into Bitcoin were crazy people. It's like a cult almost. You know, it's people that hate the government, that don't trust, that think that this federal government's gonna I don't know, just
well,
go communist.
You
believe in the black web. Like, it's just... It's,
you also spend a lot of time on alt-right websites.
It's
so
got nothing to do with my Bitcoin.
But boy, is that where...
Clearly,
you got your...
they wouldn't have let him have it if they didn't
yeah,
want
right.
it.
I'd like to get to the core of why you brought up the fact that you bought a Bitcoin.
I thought
I
it
think
was...
he's bragging about having money to buy Bitcoin.
Well, you don't...
He spent
well,
$7,000 on a Bitcoin.
I thought that it was interesting because right now it's...
On an idea.
Right now, everybody is talking about Bitcoin.
Uh-huh.
Which probably means it's too late, and I cut in too late because, as Warren Buffett once said, once your doorman is telling you or the guy pumping your gas to buy something, that's when you got to pull out.
Would you feel better if collectively we reassured you that this was
no.
a good investment,
no.
or if we
no,
all
because,
confirmed what you're fearing?
There's no fear. There's just uncertainty. There's some fear, but mostly it's just like, this is
fear.
Just something I would not have done.
Can I ask?
No, in my normal state, in my normal go to bed early, drink warm milk. Self, but I was up till it was
that
11 at night. It was 11 at night. I had had, you know,
a
I had had
cocktails.
A cup of caffeinated coffee, and I said, "Well, this is a party," and you know.
Have you set yourself like a benchmark? Like once it gets to a certain amount of money, I'm going to sell it, or do you think that you're only going to ever have? Because there's a finite number of bitcoins, right? They're not making new ones.
Right,
the amount of bitcoins exist, and they're always going to go up in value.
They might always go up in value. They might go down to zero. No one can really say.
I submit
I
that you brought this
so.
Up. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Submit. You
okay.
have something to submit. Submit.
I submit that you brought this up for three reasons.
Go ahead.
One, to show off that you had enough to buy a Bitcoin.
That could have been my life savings. That.
Two, because you were hoping that we'd all make you feel bad
no.
about the Bitcoin,
yeah.
which would in turn make you feel good.
Right.
Because if we all confirmed it, you'd feel right.
Yeah.
And
okay,
0
for 2 so far.
Okay.
0 for 2.
What's the third one?
Actually, I think there's only two.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
0 for 2. I brought it up because I thought that Bitcoin is something people are talking about right now. It's interesting. I thought some of you might have opinions about it.
What got you so excited about it? Just the hubbub in general, or was
it
a specific thing you read?
What I got excited. Well, a lot of times when people are not succeeding in their chosen field, they get desperate to make money in other ways.
Uh huh.
And.
Parna
has to go.
Sorry, I gotta go, but you guys keep going.
We won't go on much. We won't go.
Sympathy.
We won't go on much longer without you, but
no,
we do appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you for having me. No, no.
And, you know.
Bye, everyone.
You should probably audition for the club, but.
I agree.
You know, maybe you can talk to Noam, Stephen.
Stop making her uncomfortable.
All right, Aparna. That's Aparna. I don't know exactly.
Nansherla.
Nansherla.
Oh, I could be saying it wrong.
I believe that's from the north of India. That's a northern Indian name.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not.
Well, then it's probably from the south or the central part of the
That's
name.
Just guessing all the parts.
You gave away the magic trick.
I really did. Sorry about that.
All right, this Bitcoin conversation's run its course, unless you have another question about it.
Well, I was just
You're
curious.
You're saying, well, how do
what,
I get that
yeah,
excited?
Yeah, like, what got you so hard for it? It's weird. It's not like you in any capacity.
Yeah, it just, you know, people were talking about these numbers that they were talking about. Like, it could go up to 100,000 in a couple of years. You know, it could
I
go
mean,
up.
It's true. It absolutely could. And the truth is that it's a sound investment. I mean,
well, it's an investment anyway.
If I had the money, I would have a Bitcoin.
And also, it's exciting it is something that is, I think, going to be historical, whether it's historical because it becomes the next big thing or because it becomes the biggest scam ever perpetrated.
Yeah.
If scam it be, it's the most brilliant scam of all time.
You want
to
be
it would be
in
an
on that.
Honor to be scammed by it.
I like it.
I just think it is historical and I wanted to participate.
I
that
feel
was
like it's a real sign of growth on your part, too, that you had this sort of impulsive outside of yourself experience. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You should be excited about it.
Well,
do they give you a certificate or like a shiny little coin that can represent it?
No, they
or
don't
something?
Give you a shiny
I think it's
coin.
Great to see you make a bold move, Dan. I think that's.
Well, you're stopping to make a bold move with you after the show.
Oh, boy.
Dan, I did. Well, I guess we're almost out of time, but Dan wanted to talk about briefly, I might add, a comic that he's working, a comic strip, I believe.
Comic book. I have a comic book coming out. And it'll be out for the holidays, and it's called Fair Enough. And this is my latest thing, Dan, that I'm working on. I'm going to be putting out comic books a few times a year, and these are. But you know what? I don't feel like the stage is set for this. You seem to be showing no interest.
So you're talking about your next gig.
Your eyes glazed over. Yes, right.
I'm sure it's wonderful.
I think you're getting a kick out of not caring.
So again, I do think that this video series you're working on, what was it? I do think it could be good, and I urge everybody to download it. The comic book called Free and Easy. What was it called? Take It Easy.
Fair Enough.
Fair Enough. And it's a chronicle of what?
Stories from my life.
Stories from your life.
And
okay.
Are you familiar with the late great Harvey P. Carr?
Not intimately.
Yes, American Splendor.
But I know that he's
American
a famous
Splendor.
Guy. Yeah.
So American Splendor. Harvey P. Carr. After seeing that movie, kind of kicked off my
career. Portrayed by Paul Giamatti.
Yes, I became friendly with Paul. Also with Paul Giamatti. Original, not friendly. I had him on the show, but I became friendly with Harvey P. Carr after seeing that movie, and he kind of inspired me and encouraged me to go forward. You remember I did a comedy magazine at one point, Dan?
The Comical.
That was from Harvey P. Carr, pushing me, and he was a very big force in my life. And so the first one is about this friendship I had with Harvey P. Carr. But they're all going to be kind of in the vein of what he did, which was just writing about slice of life shit, and that's what I'm doing here.
Okay, so can anybody see this anywhere right now? Or it's something, it's to be...
It will be out at some point. At fairenoughcomic.com for the holidays.
But meantime, if you can't wait to get Lobel, to hear Lobel's stories and anecdotes, I assume that they can follow you... on Twitter or Facebook.
Yes.
To keep abreast of all that's going on in the life of Danny Lobel.
Yes, at Daniel Lobel on Twitter. And I have a podcast called Modern Day Philosophers. And you and I, we did that podcast that we've referred to a bunch of times called Too Much Information with Dan and Dan. I'm going to put those back out again. I think
Some of them were excellent.
Some of them were excellent. We did a lot of great work together, which is why I was surprised by the intro. And
Noam and I do some great work together. It doesn't mean there's not tension. The two are not mutually exclusive, as you pointed out, and rightly so.
And tension doesn't have to be a bad thing.
And Dan and I are in touch on a regular basis, certainly online, if not more.
Through the social media, mostly.
For years, so I consider you a good friend, and I was surprised by the intro, anyway.
I think you hurt his feelings.
Maybe they are a little hurt.
He also seems a little sensitive.
He doesn't have empathy.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I was just saying that you know, sometimes when friends work together, that's why my grandfather always said, never take a partner.
He was in the
dry goods business with a partner. It didn't work out.
Very smart. I had two. Didn't work out.
There you go. Yeah. And if you're in, and they say never loan money to a friend or go into business with a friend, and they say that for a reason. Rebecca Trent, owner of The Creek, and the cave.
Yeah, there's two of them.
This is a comedy club, a incubator of young talent in Queens, New York.
Yeah.
And tomorrow she'll be having, by the way, as we record this, not as you listen to it, but as we record this, it's the eve of Thanksgiving. And Rebecca is so artist forward that she's doing a comedy Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow at the Creek in the Cave.
It'll be our 12th one. We do it every year. And the year before last, we cooked for 80 was the most. Last year, we had, I think, 65, 70, and this year, we're expecting about the same amount.
Rebecca truly cares about comedians. It will be her undoing.
It will. You're right.
Because, you know, in this business, you can't care too much about people. Well,
why? Where does it come from? Why do you have such a deep love for comedians?
Oh, I would like to say it's because I met the right ones first. I think that's the right answer.
Which of those right ones are you?
Sean Patton and the whole crew from New Orleans.
Had
like
you
Mark
met
Norman.
Me first, had you met Dan Madden,
I would have adored you. Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we would have gotten along immediately.
Well, I think we do get along. Do you have any social media presence that you'd like to discuss?
Sure. I'm at Rebel Cave personally and Creek and Cave or Creek and Cave LIC professionally. So you can find me on my
And our producer, Stephen Calabria.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Chinabria, China, Bria, B-R-I-A. Also, if you have questions or comments about the show, you should write in. We do enjoy you.
Compliments.
Really?
Obviously, are more
No,
fun
you
want to
hear how...
If I send in a question, are you contractually obligated to answer it?
I mean, we appreciate any
this could be fun.
Any feedback, so... yeah, anonymous person writing in. I was just a guest on your show, and I think it absolutely sucked. No, what's the email that we use?
I don't even know.
The producer. Yeah, please send us your questions to some fucked art email I don't even know about. All right, we'll check
very
in a minute.
Easygoing ship here, so I don't know. Email Gnome.
Probably he doesn't want.
Just
that.
Go to Gnome's house.
Just here's his address.
Dan, do you?
No, yeah, go ahead.
Do you
Dan,
give out your personal email?
Not personal email. No.
Do you have a business email?
You can, if you have questions or comments, you add me on Facebook or you can direct message me on Twitter. You can tweet at me.
Or email just the Comedy Cellar. Email, go
What's
on to the
What's that
website.
Email, Steve? Yeah,
well, the manager,
very,
I don't
know,
manager's
do you, huh?
email. I don't know if there's actually one kind
just
of...
Just call Liz. It's 917-423.
Yeah.
I think that this was a fake offer to get in touch with the show.
It's not a fake
I submit.
Offer. You can tweet at us, too. I mean, tweet at the Comedy Cellar, at NYC Comedy Cellar, at NYC
Dan,
Comedy Cellar.
Does the podcast have its own Twitter handle and IG account and
no.
all that stuff?
How often
what are you taking all these pictures for, Steve? Huh?
Well, this is
What's
for me.
We
for
had,
my,
Nobel had a
Instagram.
Quick question to send us home.
Well, I just wondered how many people write into you and how often you're replying
We've
to
We've been
an
getting
email.
Some compliments lately. I don't know how they've been right or what email they've been
I
writing to.
I
want to
know
but...
how many emails Dan has personally written to fans.
Written to fans? I always
On the average, even.
Zero, because I usually do tweeting and retweeting and tweet adding, and that's how I do business.
Nobody snail mails anymore.
We thank you, Daniel Lobel. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and a happy holiday season.
Thank you,
to you
Daniel
also,
Madden.
Rebecca Trent. If you're a comic with nothing to eat and no savings...
It's free?
It's too late anyway. This isn't going to air.
Oh, you're
anymore.
Right.
Well, it might.
Next year,
another
well,
fake offer from Dan.
If you're Madden. A comic and next year you feel like going, because I'm sure it'll...
We do,
do, it
we
every
do
year.
Ask for donations to cover the groceries. And we usually put like a couple boxes of wine and like a bunch of like all the samples and stuff.
Well, this will be
stuff.
Too late for this year, but 2018 Thanksgiving...
And
are
there's
you
a, always Christmas.
Christmas.
You do that too?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and wow. just every other night of the week.
We'll
it
be back.
Have
no,
to be a
I don't. I mean, I don't. Feed
we'll be back next time. Gnome should be back from his Disney cruise, and imagine the stories that he'll have after a week on a Disney cruise. We will see you then. Thank you so much.